How many remember, how many loved children's books when they grew up? Anybody got some Dr. Seuss fans in the house? Listen, I don't know if you ever remember this book. It's one from Dr. Seuss, but called Harold and the Purple Crayon. Anybody remember this book? All right, clap your hands if you remember. Clap your hands. All right. See, this book was about Harold, and Harold had this incredible imagination, okay? Incredible imagination. And he also had this ability to dream. He dreamed big dreams. Now, because he was a kid, he couldn't actually do some of those things, but he wanted to imagine that he was able to go places. So what he would do is he would take his imagination and his purple crayon, and just for example, if he wanted to see the universe, he would go ahead and create and imagine this big ship, get in his ship, and he would blast off then to see the moon. If he wanted to see the world and the seven seas, he would take his imagination and his purple crayon, and he would go ahead and draw himself a cool-looking ship and get in a ship and go ahead and sail. And what was great about this book here was that it was great. The big idea of the whole book was to allow kids' imaginations to soar. Let them dream big. Let them know that you have a fantastic inner imagination in you, and it can take you places that you never dreamed of before. I loved Harold and the Purple Crayon. You know, when I worked on the east side of St. Paul in Minnesota, I worked at a YMCA, at an after-school program, and we always had a time called story time. And the kids would bring up their favorite books, and then I would read it, and we'd have a discussion about it. And they knew my book was Harold and the Purple Crayon, so a lot of them would always bring up the book. So I would go ahead and read it, and then we'd have this discussion at the end. And what I would do is I would give them a purple crayon, and I would give them a blank sheet of paper. And what I would do is always tell them, going, listen, you have a fantastic imagination inside of you. You've got a great imagination. There is dreams inside of you that's yet to be released. And we would always talk about, we said, never live your life when somebody would tell you, you can't do something. Always know you can. And we had this little phrase we call, I can, the power of the can, we'd always say. That I can. And then I would do is they would take their purple crayon, a blank sheet of paper, and we'd ask them the question, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to do? And they would take that purple crayon and they would imagine, and then we'd do a little bit of show and tell time and affirmation. And matter of fact, if you look on the sides of the building here, we did this last week in Orchard Kids with some of your all kids. We did it, and we did the same thing. We looked at the book Harold and the Purple Crayon, and we gave them a purple crayon and actually let them kind of create what they wanted to be and what they wanted to do when they grow up. And we actually filmed some of the shorties, okay? So actually check this video out and listen to their responses. It's pretty cool.
I want to be a Marine because I want to help our country.
I want to be a fifth grade teacher so I could help kids learn.
I want to be a veterinarian.
Why?
Because so I can help animals.
I want to be an author, and the store owners that sell the books will give me the money, and I will give the money to St. Jude's Hospital for the kids.
An artist, because I like to draw, and because it's colorful and artsy.
I want to be a swim teacher because I want to help people swim.
I want to be a dancer for a homeless shelter to make people happy.
I want to be a history teacher so I can teach kids about the past.
A video game maker, a scientist, artist, landscaper, and actor.
A video game designer or own a video game designing company. And I want to be a baker. I like to bake a lot. I like to bake cookies the most.
I want to be a vet who gives dogs to poor people and buy dogs from animal shelters and then rescue them.
A hot air balloon driver.
A hot air balloon driver? How cool is that?
We want to be gymnasts because it's fun to do cool things in the gym.
Because I like to do back bends.
I want to be a pastor, a fire lady, and a model.
I want to be a chef.
I want to be an artist. I really love drawing stuff.
I want to be a veterinarian because I want to help animals.
When I grow up, I would like to be a video game master because I like competing with friends and family members.
A gymnast. It's fun to do gymnastics and you can be more healthy.
You're gonna be more healthy? Is that true? Gymnasts are healthy, aren't they?
I want to be a doctor, a teacher, a scientist, a chef, an artist, inventor, a traveler, and God's helper.
A teacher, because I want to help the boy teachers out because there's not a lot of boy teachers. I don't see a lot of boy teachers, so.
He's for real. All right, good job.
Give it up for our shorties out there. Listen, all of us need to take a season to be a hot air balloon driver. I think our lives would probably change for the better. You know, what I learned about kids with this exercise is that kids have the best imaginations. They really do. It doesn't take them long. When you give them the exercises, their minds and their imaginations start to go. They start dreaming big. And if you talk to them for any length of time, they really believe that their dreams are going to change the world. They really do. The kid who wanted to be a video game designer and company, he believed his dreams were going to revolutionize the video game industry. It's amazing, but it is. It's inspiring listening to their ideas. You know, many of us come from childhood with a picture of what we wanted most in life. We may have come away with from our childhood with what the perfect family and the perfect spouse and the perfect job or our perfect kids. And you know what? I was no different. I came away from childhood and I wanted the perfect marriage, okay? I knew for sure that I was going to marry this lady, Miss Olivia Newton-John, okay? I knew it, man. She was the lady, and listen, I won't talk about, my wife said don't talk about the tight spandex black that she wore, don't talk about it. But listen, I was marrying that lady. I walked away sure I was going, and listen, some of you ladies in the crowd, I know what you're doing with John Travolta right now. I know it, you thought so too with him. And really, I thought I was going to walk away with the body, I had this imagination, I was going to have the body of Arnold Schwarzenegger, okay? And some of the fellas are like, amen, right? Come on, anybody have that dream? Guys? Okay, I got one. I heard that, amen. Okay, and this is probably key because it was big and I mean this with all my heart. I really thought that I was going to be able to walk into my adulthood and actually beat Mr. Hulk Hogan for the championship belt. I really did. I thought I was going to do that. And you know, listen, I fell way short of that dream. But let me tell you how cool this is I went over, I'm pretty good friends with Adam Mock, and he has this video game called WWE 13. And him and his son, Gabriel, we're all wrestling fans, and he said, you know what, I'm going to get you closer to your dream. We're going to create you on this character called Jammin' Jamie Johnson, okay? And yes, my pecs do look like that, okay? Yes, they do. And if that wasn't cool enough for my birthday, they hooked me up, and actually, since I'm kind of venturing in this wrestling world, getting closer, is actually made me a figure, a full-fledged action figure, Jammin' Jamie Johnson action figure, man. Yes, with my favorite Flav chain, okay, on there. How cool is that? And some of you who a little know the wrestling world, this isn't cool. Like 3 weeks ago, I was able to have dinner and sit down with Booker T, WWE legend, man, and hook that up. My wife and I had to do that. Totally cool. He told me, though, that I don't think you should go into the wrestling world. You don't stick to pastoring. But it's pretty cool. But, you know, what is your dream? I know you had dreams as a child, too. You came away with I heard that. I know that, sweetie. I heard that. And really, you walked away with dreams as a child, and you knew thought what you were going to be and what you were going to do. And here's the thing. There's something about dreams. Dreams really do have power. They inspire us. They empower us. They give us energy. When we really are dreaming in this truest fashion, when we're really dreaming and there's something inside, dreams ignite us to want to make the world different. When we use our imaginations again and really start creating and thinking of what we want to be and what we want to do, dreams give us power. John Maxwell, a book mentor of mine, and I followed him for many years, I like what he said about dreams. He captured it well. He says, what is a dream? A dream is an inspiring picture of the future that energizes, keyword, energizes your mind, your will, your emotions, and what I would add to that, your very soul, empowering you to do everything you can to achieve it. A real dream inside of you. That's why Steven Spielberg said this, and I like what he said. He goes, I don't dream at night. I dream all day. I dream for a living. I love that because you know what? As God's people, if we're God's people and so-called serving a God of the impossible, I really believe that we should be dreaming all day because we serve a God who can make something out of nothing. It's a God who puts things deep inside our heart to be birthed out. God plants things in you from the very beginning for you to come to fruition, to know what he wants you to be and what he wants you to do. We should be dreaming all day. But it's kind of funny, in all my time working with kids and teens and adults from all different ages, from 20s on up to seniors, in my 20 years of ministry, this is one fact that I've observed in my life. As people get older, it seems like they stop using their imaginations for whatever reason. They seem to stop using their imaginations, and they underestimate the power of dreaming again. They underestimate that, and they seem to lose sight of their dreams. And we all had dreams as a child, and we've came to an adulthood, and we're all sitting here. I know there's people in our Orchard tribe here that actually you've had dreams come to fruition. A dream for that marriage, or you know, a dream in your business, or you really have a sense of know why you were really created and what God really wants you to do. And you fulfilled some of those things. And man, we celebrate that. But here's what I know too. I know there's probably people here that actually had a hold of their dream at one time, but for whatever reason, it just kind of faded away. For whatever reason. And I know there's probably people here that actually have dreams. They haven't even touched it yet, and it seems like it's so far away. That's maybe the frustrating things about dreams. They come in all different shapes and sizes. And adulthood can teach us one thing, those of us as adults here, that life rarely goes as we anticipated. Can you say amen? Isn't that the truth? You know, life rarely goes as we anticipated. We want to have the plan. We think we have the created plan. We think we know what we're doing, but then life just has a way of messing things up sometimes. That's why the great Paul Harvey, I love this quote, what he says. Some situations come up in our journey that do not want to cooperate with our dreams. Isn't that the truth? You know, and this is why we're in a series called Repurposed, a series about the beauty and value and purpose that exists in areas of our life but don't always feel very purposeful. And today I want to talk about dreams. And let me preface something for a moment. This isn't going to be like, here's the 10-step program to fulfilling all your life dreams, and I'm going to give you all these cool little concepts and things. I'm going to be very transparent and very honest with you. These principles that I'm coming today are perspectives more like, are just coming out of my own life. My life of observing people as a pastor. My life, my own life, my failures and my successes. My times of interviewing different leaders and people. These are just some things and some few ideas that I want to throw out to you. And for some of you who are thinking on the big dream level, the big purposeful dream of why do I exist? What was I created for? You know, what am I really called to do? You know, some of these perspectives may help you. But for some of you who are more specific right now, who maybe it's just more like, you know, who do I supposed to marry? Is she the one for me? Is he the one for me? And should I be going to this next job? And I've got that dream. Some of these perspectives may help you as well. But y'all ready? Let's get started. Here's the first one. One of the things that I learned about dreams is this. Sometimes there are dreams in our life that we ought to let go of. Kind of like Uncle Rico. Check it out.
You guys want to see my video? So what do you think?
It's pretty cool, I guess.
Oh, man, I wish I could go back in time. I'd take state.
This is pretty much the worst video ever made.
Napoleon, like anyone can even know that.
You know what, Napoleon? You can leave.
You guys are retarded.
Hey, check that out.
Give it up for Uncle Rico, right? Right? But some of us, we actually might have dreams that we actually need to let die. And I know what you're thinking right now. Jamie, I didn't come to church to hear that. That's not what I want repurposed, to let my dreams die. What a real motivating start, Mr. Johnson. Okay? But if you bear with me for a moment and just hold on and just walk with me through this first one, because I want to share you a real personal story in my life that hopefully I can have this perspective make sense to you. Some of our dreams that we may just need to let die, okay? In 1993, I met Scott and my wife, Edwina, the sexy lady on the left and the two balding men in the middle and the right there. We met at North Central Bible College. And there was a class that I was an urban ministry major, and there was a class that we had in our innovative urban class. The job at the end was you had to create a nonprofit ministry or project that would reach and make a difference in an urban community. And my project was easy. I was a bodybuilder back then. I loved training. I love fighting and fight club and all those kind of things. I said, easy, man. I want to make and create a nonprofit gym where I can get different people from the streets coming out that couldn't afford to go to the YMCA or Bally's, and they could come in and work out, and I could train them, specifically targeting teen boys and gangs or different things like that. So, you know what? Wrote the paper up, did it, got an A on my paper. And at that time, I had a relationship with the East Side YMCA in Minnesota, in St. Paul, Minnesota. And I was youth pastoring at the time at a little urban church down the road. So I took this paper and I met with some of the executives at the East Side Y. And I told them, you know what, here's what I'm thinking about doing. I want to start more of this kind of nonprofit urban gym. You know, anything you can do to help me during the road, please, can you do that for me? So 2 weeks later, I get a call and they said, Jamie, just so you know, what we're doing is the East Side Y has been here for like 30 years. We're actually moving locations. And we're getting a whole brand new facility, and we're getting all new weight equipment. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go downstairs into our big fitness area, and I want you to go down there and take anything you want. Blew me away. So I took some of the boys that I was connecting with at the time. We went down there, and man, we just start unload. We rented a U-Haul, start packing things in. And we opened the bodybuilding center in our church. And so you walked in the door, to the right, you would go to the sanctuary. To the left, you had a fully equipped bodybuilding gym. Benches, everything, squat racks, benches, free weights, Nautilus machines. And we would just train our butts off. And it was so cool, was because kids were coming inside the church that would never step inside a church. Never. They were coming in and they were unsure about it, but all of a sudden they started hearing the music and we would get them training. We would get them off the streets. And we just start pumping and training. And at the beginning, it was just for guys. But all of a sudden, man, the ladies start representing, man. The ladies start coming in and representing and wanting to start getting fit. So all of a sudden, we start having a lot of teen ladies come in. Then all of a sudden, I start getting young adults start coming in. And through the time, it was so funny. About 2 years later, we reached the grandmothers of our church. It was amazing. We had grandmothers coming, and this image I'll never forget. We had this young gang member sitting there, was a part of our program for 3 years. He was spotting Myrtle, okay? Myrtle was benching, and he's like, come on, Myrtle, you got two more in you. She's like, okay. You know what I mean? Just had the bar. It was great. Got Myrtle with Rodrigo, man, coming doing their thing. It was totally tight to see that. But the dream just kind of took off, and I was energized by it. I loved it. When I would come in and I get a chance to train and I get to help people with their fitness program and see them kind of give up doing drugs and doing things like that, it energized me deep inside my soul, deep. And we took this program 5 years. We hung out on the east side of St. Paul, and then we took it over to South Minneapolis. Same thing. It just kept on rocking and rolling. And I was so energized by this. And in 2004, tragedy hit. And I was a big MMA fan early on in the days of UFC, and I was training. I was in a Kempo program, and I've shared this story before. I got kicked in the head and in a sparring, and I got kicked in the head, and it snapped my neck back that it gave me two herniated discs. And because I was a lot bigger back then and there, it was tight. And so when that foot kicked my head, it just pop, pop, pop in my vertebrae. And the pain was excruciating. Some of you can identify who have back pain here, neck pain. Excruciating. I went to the doctors, and he said, Jamie, he talked about my lifestyle. What are you doing? He goes, listen, I don't recommend that you do that anymore. You're not going to be able to spot people and move weights around and do that. You need to actually lay off that. You're going to injure yourself in the future worse. That news, I remember at that time my wife and I were sharing one car. I remember walking away from that doctor's, because right down the road, walking home, weeping. Just going, are you kidding me? Why would God allow this to happen? I thought we were rolling and shaking and moving. 10 years we're rocking this program. And then I came and I thought maybe I could try to do some things, but every time I would go back into it, it would just hurt worse, and all of a sudden the numbers start to dissipate. And the day that I had to cut the program back, I remember sitting in my office telling, this sucks. This sucks. I had to stop doing Fridays and Mondays. I just didn't have the energy or time. And then the day, it was like a year or so later, I had to actually shut the program down. I remember going to the hardware store and buying a lock and locking the thing. This sucks. And I didn't understand it at all. And then the day that I had to actually call and pawn off the equipment, sell some, give some away, never understood it. It blew me straight into a depression. Boom, hit it in there. And I remember I had to meet with a therapist. Her name was Mary Stites. And she was a little old lady. She was a little 62-year-old lady that I met out of her house with, because I was so depressed by this. And she helped me process some of this stuff. And she helped me to identify. She goes, Jamie, you're so wrapped up in what you're doing that I want to get to the deeper areas of where this grief and pain are coming from. And she started to help me unleash deeper areas of my heart that were left hidden. Because of this dream dying, it actually spurred its way for God to do something deeper. Deepen in areas of my heart, in areas of my life that needed to be healed, which if that dream was still up and going and moving, I would have never been able to go into deeper areas of my life. And I remember what she said to me. She read a thing from Ecclesiastes 3. And she said, Jamie, I want you to think about your life and your dreams and who you are at this time. She said this, to everything, Jamie, there is a season. A time for every purpose under heaven. There's a time for it. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck what is planted. A time to kill, but a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. But Jamie, it's your time to mourn. You see, death is painful. Death hurts. Death of our dreams is very painful. At the end of the day, death may even be necessary, which is crazy to think sometimes, but it is. But here's what happens, what I've noticed. Our God has an incredible way of creating new life out of something that was dead. It's just what he does. I don't get why he does it. I don't have all the answers why he does it, but I know he has this way of creating life out of something that was dead. And what he did for me was start to get deeper areas of my emotional life and start to revive them. It wasn't just about the way I looked and bench pressing and what I benched and squatted. It wasn't about what I was doing anymore. God started to get to these deep areas, and this revelation came that, God, you're not so concerned always about my physical health, but Lord, you want to incorporate emotional health and spiritual health deeper into my life. And I remember out of this process of valuing emotionally healthy spirituality and that part, what God was birthing in me, I remember I started a group called Fight Club. It was for men that want to deal with emotionally healthy spirituality. I said, I don't care where you were at. I don't care if you're a fighter and a blue-collar worker. I don't care if you're a gang member. I don't care if you're a business person. We would get these men together. Not teen boys either. It was men together, and we talk about what areas of our life do we need to fight the good fight in. And it was amazing to see these men, businessmen, these white-collar guys who were cheating on their wives, all of a sudden start repenting and deal with where this stuff started to come out of. I had these hard blue-collar guys with these white-collar guys, blue-collar guys who were on drugs, you know, on halftime when they would get off work and they would go snort or they go drink, start saying, you know what, I got to tap into this stuff. I know why I'm doing this stuff now. To be able to experience that in this fight club, no weights involved, it was because something I had to let go of. I was privileged to rock that thing for 10 years. But you know what? God birthed new life out of something more. But that's the way God does it. It took me several years to be able to understand that. But my passion now for holistic health, I still love to train. I can't train like I used to. But to train, but make sure the body, heart, mind, spirit, emotions, all of that is together. That's why I love that the Orchard, one of its values is wholeness. I love that value. But that's kind of what God was doing in me. T.D. Jakes, I kept this quote from T.D. Jakes. Some of you know who T.D. Jakes is. He said this. It says, he's seeing yourself through the lens of who you were will stop you from seeing yourself through the lens of who God's calling you to be. And that's what he was doing in my life. Jamie, you were doing this. That was a season. You need to let that dream die. I want to do something new and resurrect something new. I had to let my Linus blanket go. And the good news is that God brings to life. And when your dreams die, some of those that you need to let go of, God enables you and the dream to experience a resurrection and newness of life. And for some of you, here's the deal. Some of you who are 21 and now you're 31, 32, that you got kids, you have two kids and a spouse, you had a dream when you were 21 that no longer fits to you being 32. Your values, who you are, all that has changed. And you're still trying to squeeze this dream when you were 21 into being 31. Or for some of you who are 31 and had this dream, and now you're 41, seasons of life has changed for you. And you're still trying to squeeze, you know, like Uncle Rico, a certain dream into a certain stage of your life. And just maybe, I don't know, but you and God will figure that out. Just maybe you need to let that thing go. Maybe it needs to die so God can do something deeper in you. For some of us who've been in an unhealthy, abusive relationship, which I've experienced many of those growing up in my family, maybe you need to let that die. Or at the very least, that unhealthy, abusive relationship that you're in, maybe the type of relationship needs to die that you're in. At the very least, get counseling or therapy for that. God wants to let that part die so he can give you something new. For some of us, you've been in a dream business that you've hung on to for so long, it's made you bitter now, resentful, unhealthy, depressed. You might need to let that dream job that you've been going at it for a while, you just might need to let that die because draining your spouse and your kids and your health and your finances and just maybe, if you're honest, it's draining the heck out of you. Because sometimes we just need to let the dream be repurposed and let go of it. And is there dreams in your life right now? The question is that maybe you just need to let die. It's a great question. It's a hard question, but actually it's a great question. Is there? And see what God can do. See if he can repurpose it and resurrect something deeper. Well, that's one. Let me go to another one. Because sometimes it's actually the complete opposite. There's actually dreams in our life that God wants you to revive. What dreams in your life need to be revived back again? Maybe there's some dreams that actually you had sparked in your spirit early on, and all of a sudden you start rolling on it, then all of a sudden, for whatever reason, you let go of it way too soon. It's the exact opposite. There's some that were holding a dream way too long, and God's saying, you know, it's time to let it die so I can resurrect new. But this one is saying, you know, you had the dream. You had the passion. You had the energy. And you wanted, it was a fire deep in your heart. But you know what? All of a sudden, you started on the journey, but then you look back, you let it go. And now God's saying, you know what? I want you to go back, and I want you to get that thing, and I want you to revive it. Some of you may be there. Restore it back to consciousness. We've got artists in this place that I know that need to go back and start, the artist in you needs to come back out like Harold. You need to bust out your purple crayon and some of the artists in the room and start creating art again because you let go of it. I know the entrepreneurs in the room that you go, you know what, I let go of that business. You know what, and God's saying, you know what, he might be saying to you, I want you to go back and revive it. Some of you who want to travel the world and go places that you've never gone, you let that idea go, and God's saying, don't let it go yet, baby. I want you to go back and revive that thing. What is it that God wants you to revive? Because here's what I know. All of us, I'm sure, have this in common. It's so easy to let go of our dreams. All of us have that in common. For whatever reasons, it's easy to let go of our dreams. This video, I love this movie. Check out this video because it's a good illustration of how easy it is to let go of our dreams. Check this out.
All right, then we're going to go sell a bone density scanner. How about that? You want to do that?
No. Hey, Dad, I'm going pro. I'm going pro.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know. You know, you'll probably be about as good as I was. That's kind of the way it works, you know, and I was below average. You know, so, whoa. So you'll probably ultimately rank somewhere around there, you know, so I really, you'll excel at a lot of things, just not this. I don't want you out here shooting this ball around all day and night, all right?
All right.
Okay? All right, go ahead. Never let somebody tell you you can't do something. Not even me. All right?
All right.
You got a dream, you got to protect it. People can't do something themselves. They want to tell you you can't do it. You want something, go get it. Period.
You see, some of us had dreams, just like the little boy. We had dreams, and somebody came by and negatively affected those dreams. Just like it. Maybe it was someone or something that came by and negatively affected it and made you took that dream and put it back in the bag and you lost hope for that dream. But you know, some of us, Sister Lulu used to always tell me, my former church, she'd tell me, you know what, baby, sometimes you need a thing called soul reminders. You know, soul reminders tell you, the soul reminder is just like in the movie, the father recognized his mistake and he told the kid, don't let anyone tell you you can't do something. I don't care if you're a kid or if you're 70 years old. Sometimes we need reminders, soul reminders of that. Don't let anyone tell you that you can't do something. Don't let anybody tell you that because you serve a God of the impossible. Don't let anybody tell you you can't do something. You got a dream? Go out and protect it. You want something? Go get it, period. And that's what we're saying. Go back and revive it. You let it go too soon. See, some of us in our dreams, We experienced early disappointments and failure and discouragement. We experienced early on the dream. But all of a sudden, as we're going, we experienced that, and God was still ready to rock with us. But all of a sudden, we let it go. We go, you know what? Failure, discouragement, we let it go. Life happens like that. And all of a sudden, because of the failure or disappointments or discouragement, we started to have an internal voice that said, I can't. I can't. My God is boom dynamite, please. What you started hearing was, I can't. I can't do it. For some of you, you had parents that told you, and you know what I'm talking about. You had parents that told you you couldn't. You had key influential figures in your life tell you you can't. And just because they couldn't do it, they told you you couldn't do it. And whatever reason, we bought into that. And it became a part of our lifestyle. I can't. And we're here to say today that God's Spirit is here today to say, you know what, baby? I can. You can. I want you to go and revive it. For some of us, we had businesses that were part of our dream. And because when the economy changed, it got worse, and it had a negative effect on the sustainability of our dreams or our nonprofits, we had to let it go. I get that. I get that. It happens. And we had to quit. But now God's saying to you, are you sure? Let's go back and revive it. Come on, let's go back and revive it. I'm the God of the impossible. I can do it for you. I know you let it go. I understand that season, but we're in a new season. I want you to go back and revive it. You had a business partner turn your back on you. You had to let it go. Listen, for some of us, we just had a dream in January of being in shape, okay? I know what you did. You went to the gym membership. You bought all the like diet books, and you had a dream of getting yourself back in shape. It's January. Now it's March. And some of you are going, I let that dream for good health and fitness go. It happens. It's real. And you know what happens? God's saying, you know what, for the sake of your family and your kids and for yourself, I want you to go revive that dream for good health and fitness back in your life. All of us do that. If there's anything we all have in common is that we let things go. We do. We let it go too soon. For some of you, you've experienced divorce in your life. And now to think about the dream of marriage, you're like, please, I'm not doing that again. One divorce, way too much. Some of you, two. I get it. You know what? I ain't doing it again. And you've looked at the sanctity and beauty of marriage. Please, I am not going to revive that thing again. My dad was married 3 times, and he always said, son, one thing I want to tell you growing up, don't get married. I heard that all the time. All the time. And listen, I've been married. Listen, if I listen to that voice, I got a sweet mama for 16 years we've been married. And that's the real deal. Please, give me a hand clap for that one, man. It is. Because I didn't listen to that voice. I can stay married. I can have a good marriage. And some of us need to be reminded, marriage isn't bad. Go back and revive the beauty of marriage again. Now, this is a tough one because it's one that I and Edwina can definitely identify with, of having kids. Some of us have had a dream of starting a family and having kids, and it hasn't happened for us yet. And we let it go a long time ago, the dream of being a mother or a father, we let it go. And God's reminding us, I'm the God of the impossible. I can give you children. I want you to go back and revive that dream of having children again. Don't give up on it. I know you want to say you're done with it. I know you're tired. I know you're sick of it. I know you're tired of having that dream. But God's saying, I can still create life when you don't think I can. I can. And thank God, God doesn't listen to us about himself. Ain't that the truth? I thank God that he tells himself, I can all the time. Because if you would listen to some of us, including Jamie Johnson, if you were to really listen to me, God would have a low self-image. You know, God, you can't do that. Please, come on. But God's saying, I can. You know, I had a dream of having some sort of positive relationship with my father. I've talked about this a little before in times I've spoke. Very abusive physically and verbally and emotional abusive relationship with my dad. Had some moments of reconnections, but not a real solid total reconnection. I had to do a lot more mercy than I did actually feel good about it. I had to choose to have mercy or choose to love and not really feel it in return. And 5 weeks ago, I sat there on my couch and I was bothered by something. I said, Edwina, I got to talk to my dad. I talk to him maybe once every month, once every 2 months, a real short period of time. And we go. I called him and she knew what I was about to do. Call him and she came by and she started praying in the spirit with me on the floor. And I was on the thing and she laid hands on my knee and started praying for me. And I got on the phone. I said, you know, Dad, do you got a moment? I said, I want to be able to reconnect with you in a different way. He goes, what do you mean, son? And I said, you know what? I've always wanted to have some type of relationship with you that was more than this once-a-month call for 20 years. I said, Dad, I got to tell you how I feel from the bottom of my heart. And listen, I'm not trying to shame you or blame you, but just hear me out. You never, ever once told me you were proud of me, ever. And I said, you know what? You never told me you're proud of me. It seemed like I was always a container for your rage and anger. It always seems like, you know, that my younger sisters, you were uplifting to this princess level, and I became like the scapegoat son who you're always pissed off at. And I said, Dad, I just want to tell you I love you. There's moments that I can cherish in our relationship, but I needed to tell you this. And the other side of the phone, he sat there for about 45 seconds and say nothing. And I let there be that awkward silence. And he goes, Jamie, and he started to weep on the phone. He goes, if you really knew how I talk about you on the construction field, you'd really know my heart. He goes, son, I talk to you with the fellas on the construction site, and he says, I tell him all the time, I'm proud of my son. I'm proud of him. I'm proud that you went to school when I could barely graduate high school. I'm proud of you that you went on to be a pastor. I'm proud of you that you stayed married. He goes, I could never be the man that you are today. What a gift. I'm 41. He's 71. He's on dialysis 3 times a week. What a blessing and a gift it was to go back and revive that dream that I surely thought was dead. I was ready that homeboy to go dead and buried and then talk about it at his funeral because I know I'd have to do the funeral and say those kind of things there. But it was a blessing to be able to say it because I took a chance to revive that dream and go back to it. And it's changed. It wasn't like it wasn't like I wanted it to be and all that, but God still brought some life back into it. And for whatever the reason, maybe God is telling you right now, I want you to light the fire again. When you've been knocked down, he's saying, I want you to stand again, baby. And I want you to fight a good fight again for that dream. I want you to revive it. I want you to go back to it. I'll be there with you when you do it. And there's some people in this place, that's what God's stirring in your heart right now. Well, thirdly, well, there's some of us that we need to let some dreams die. Some of us, we need to go and revive our dreams. But some of us, we need to be able to go and think of this statement, who the dreamer becomes is just as important as where the dreamer is going. Now, let me break this one down for a second. Sometimes we think of dreams. We think of dreams, immediately we think of destination, place, product. We think of the end product, the final end. And it's good if we can get a glimpse of the final end project, destination, and place. It's awesome when we get that glimpse. But what happens more often than not, on the journey to that final destination, we don't always look on what's going on in the inside. We're so focused on the dream and the destination of that dream that we don't always look on what's going on the inside of us. I'm going to slow this down. Check this out, because I know it's hard to communicate this, but we can be so focused on the destination that we just see the journey to get there as a tool, versus the journey is a place where God makes us into the people he actually created us to be. All right? This happens to people all the time. It's kind of like this. They actually get to their dream. All right? They arrive at their destination. They go where they're going. They're focusing on the where, the what. But they forget about the who, the inside of them. And when they arrive at their destination, their dream job, all of that, their calling, whatever that is in their life, their dream, they're more bitter. They're more angrier. They're more resentful. They're more sarcastic. They're more cynical. They're more selfish. Because somewhere along the journey, they didn't do the heart check. They didn't do the heart of the dreamer checked. All about making it to that dream, that they forgot about who they became in the process of that dream. They just became bitter. That's why who the dreamer becomes is just as important in where the dreamer is going. See, God desires us to be able to look on the inside. And we're familiar with the story, some of us may be, some of us may not be, but the Old Testament story of Joseph. And when you think of Joseph, here is a man at 17, was given his life dream about what he was going to do, okay? God says, you're going to be second in command of all of Egypt, basically, okay? Your brothers and your family bow down and worship, all that kind of stuff. And he said, basically, the bottom line was, God says, you're going to be second in command of Egypt. That's what you're going to do, where you were going, okay? He told his brothers that dream and his family. Dad was discombobulated about it, wasn't sure. Brothers got resentful, angry, bitter, and jealous. So what did they do? They took Joseph. When they saw him, they go, ah, there goes the dreamer. And what did they do? They took him, put him in a pit, was about ready to kill him, had second thoughts, and they said, you know what, let's just sell him into slavery, the second best option. Okay? Shackled and chained, here is Joseph. Okay? Do you really think at that moment of being rejected by his family, abandoned by his family, on that shackled, chained road, do you really think at that point he's going, my dream is alive, I have a dream? You know what I mean? Or is he really a bit more pissed off at his brothers for rejecting him, abandoning him, his brothers telling him, you can't? And you think that is going through his mind? Well, long story short, as you know, he goes to Potiphar and he gets out of slavery and goes to Potiphar, and then Potiphar's wife accuses him of sexual harassment, which he didn't do. And then, you know, next best thing, Joseph's now sent up to prison. And once again, you think in the prison now, he's going, I have a dream. Or is he going, these bleepity bleep, bleepity bleepers, you know what I mean? They sold me out. They told me I can't. Now I'm sitting here in prison. Well, maybe he's thinking about his dream now a little bit, kind of going, where is this supposed to happen? But you know that's integrated with his heart going, this sucks. This sucks. That's the human response. The Old Testament superhero is going, God, he has a dream. No, it's going, man, this is what it takes? Well, then he interprets a dream for Pharaoh, and what happens? Now he's in his dream, second in command. Pharaoh just lavishes blessing on him, and now he's actually second in command of the foods and industries and helping people out during times of famine, and he's the one who distributes the food and the help. Okay, he's actually in his dream. Now, you would think if the dream story was so important that it would end there, the end, happy. Well, no, there's chapters that go way on after he's in his dream, what he was doing. The end product, the final destination, that thing, he's in that. Story's done, okay? Dream fulfilled. But God's not done with it because he's concerned about the dreamer, the heart of the dreamer. So what happens? He sees his brothers come, you know, to get food in time of famine. His brothers don't recognize him. Joseph sees him, and he looks at him. They look at him, and all of a sudden, rage fills his heart. That rage didn't just come then. He's been carrying that stuff in his heart for long years, and God wanted to get to that stuff. So he gets enraged, and what does he do? He puts his brothers, throws them into prison. His brother's like, I don't get what's going on. And he puts them in prison, locks the door, and this is what the Bible says. Goes next door into a room, and he weeps. And here's the biblical language. It says that all Egypt could hear his sadness. Ah, there you go, God. That's what you're doing. Who the dreamer is, God wanted to get to that deep emotional stuff in his life. God isn't just concerned about where you're going. He was concerned about the dreamer Joseph and what he was becoming. He couldn't carry that bitterness and resentment. He had to get to the anger and sadness and resentment where he was pissed off and angry. He had to get to that stuff. And then he confronted his brothers, and finally it all releases. Wow, that makes sense. Because who the dreamer is and becomes is just as important as where the dreamer is going. You don't want to reach the destination here in your dreams and not be the person that God called you to be. Lastly, I'm closing with this. You have no idea. There's a big question mark. When it comes to your dreams, we just don't know what the dream is. There's some of us here, we've talked about it. We have no idea. You're actually in a period of waiting right now. You just don't know what the dream is. And I'm here to tell you that's okay. Just breathe for a moment. It's okay to be in that place. One good thing is this. You don't have to have clarity and specifics on your dream in your life all the time. Either way, it's frustrating. I know that. When you don't know your dream, you're stuck. You don't really know what's going on. You can't see the next step ahead of you. It's frustrating. But I'm here to encourage you today as a pastor and a friend. It's okay. God can handle that. We all go through seasons where we don't have clarity. And here's the good part. If you're in that place and season of your life where you just don't know, God actually has a dream of his that you can hold on to while you're waiting for the next step in your own dream. It's called God's dream. Okay? It's a God dream. It's a time when there's not clarity. You can hold on to something that actually might make sense in your waiting period. Okay? It's called God's dream. It's rooted in Luke 10:27 about loving God with all you got and loving people and then loving yourself. Desmond Tutu actually created this. The great Desmond Tutu, he said this about God's dream. He said, "Dear child of God, in our lives, in our world, it is often hard to remember that God loves you just the way you are. God loves you because God doesn't love you because you are good. No, God loves you, period. It is marvelous when you come to the understanding that you are accepted for who you are, now listen to this, apart from any dream, achievement, or vision, that God accepts you. It is liberating, child of God. It is liberating." Well, in this time, that's what we do. When we're a period of waiting, start to pray. Love God with everything you have. Don't get discouraged and start treating other people bad. Well, don't get so hard on yourself that you don't know. Love yourself during this time. Love others during this time, because it can be frustrating. Love God and trust him still. He's going to make your path straight for that dream when you don't know. Orchard Tribe, dreams are powerful. Never lose sight of them. Some dreams need to die. Some dreams need to be revived. Who you are matters on the destination to that dream. And if you just don't know, embrace God's dream of loving him, loving others, and loving yourself during that time. Will you pray with me this morning? I'm going to pray God's best for you this morning. Heavenly Father, with all my faith that I have and the love that I've experienced in this year and a half for this community, my heart and my faith as a pastor, I ask for the best right now on your people here. Speak to those who need to let some dreams die that's hurting their lives. and let them know that you will bring resurrection. You will bring it. In some way, you're going to bring resurrection. For some that need, who let go of dreams in this place, God, that they need to be revived, Lord, bring passion back. Bring it back. Bring passion and energy and excitement back to that dream. And Lord, go with them. Go before them and set the stage for that to be revived. For those of us in our jobs, in our places, living out some of our dreams, and we become bitter and angry and resentful, and we forgot to look at a heart check, Lord God, help us to come to you and get all that stuff out of our heart. If it's going to family members and reviving a dream of a relationship, if it's somebody at work, if it's something or someone, help us take a step to reconcile that. And Lord, for those who just don't know in our season of waiting, encourage their heart. Let them know at this time that you just want them to love you with all they got, that you're going to give them direction. Let them not be resentful or angry or just sensitive to other people around them. Let them help love others, and most importantly, Lord, help them love themselves as well. Father, we thank you and praise you for repurposing our dreams today. Let this seed fall upon the good ground of our heart. In Jesus' name, oh, God's people said, amen. Can you stand with me? Before you leave today, you are going to go out the door, and you're going to get a purple crayon, okay? Like Harold. You're going to get a purple crayon, and what I want you to do is to go home, whatever your quiet time is. I know everybody has a quiet time where you and just God yourself, whenever that time is, take that purple crayon, get a blank piece of paper, and I want you to read Psalm 139. Read Psalm 139 and let your imagination go and see what God would speak to you. Go in peace, blessing, and passion. Thank you guys so much. Take care.